All right, I guess we're recording. I don't know, but if we are,
Oh.
I set
yeah,
mine to
just
record. So, but
okay, well, we'll just work that system then.
oh, that's it. Doesn't matter. Hey, welcome to Stunker in the Audio, whatever number this is. So we're talking about AEW show from last night, and the merch stand that's making the picture making its way around on Reddit. I mean, so basically, it shows three employees, four employees. A whole
Yeah.
bunch of nothing, a, and this is
Yeah.
inexplicably
Oh
stupid,
yeah.
right? Like,
Yeah, 'cause oh yeah, 'cause I just zoomed in and I zoomed out. 'Cause we got a Rock Hard Juice Robinson cutout.
okay, yeah.
$40, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know how that trades into Canadian,
But it's only,
but
is it the whole thing or is it half? And I'm not joking, by the way.
It just looks like torso up, and that seems very expensive for just torso up of Rock Hard
Yeah.
there. I want the full thing. Like, I mean, if you're gonna fantasy book juice in your local independent promotion,
Huh.
you need a full Rock Hard.
Just, I wanted to say, well, the way it's going, but they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 things for sale. They have 10 items for sale. Four of them are hats. One's half a cutout. And the other thing is an AEW t-shirt, fine, with the old logo, by the way. A Rated R Superstar, like a picture of the AEW roster, which you
Yep.
can't really make out who's on it. A Sting shirt. And then an AEW sweatshirt with the old logo. That's all they're selling at the show. I'm hoping that there's another stand somewhere. Oh, okay, well, just in general, first off. But that there's like an
Yeah.
actual stand somewhere. That's inexplicably terrible. That can't be real. Right?
I did not check to see what the possible attendance was at this venue.
3,200. Oh, wait a minute. Did you say possible or actual? I'm sorry.
Possible.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
Well,
A whole
I'll just
lot.
say more than 3,200.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's why I was like, I just wanted, sometimes you just get limited by the space itself. But I would think that they have room for at least two setups. If they're both this paltry, though,
20,000.
oh, God. That's how big that venue
Yeah, that's where
was.
the Senators play.
Oh, my
And
God.
that's 20,000 without the floor. Now, I know you have to take some seats away from the stage. But yeah, like, I honestly thought it was a small arena, the way they shot it. So good job to them. So when you.
Yeah, I did not think that they were in a, because 20,000 seat is large by indoor arena standards too. Like most typical U.S. are around the 16,000 mark. The 20,000 seat capacity is to me significantly larger.
Yeah. Where do you start,
But
man?
yeah,
Where do you start? Like, last night, I wanted to start with NXT because that show was good. But,
no,
it's how.
we always complain about AEW to start the show, sir.
You know
How
what would be
dare you
nice
try to
if we
mess up
didn't?
the
You know
formula?
how nice it would be if I had something positive to say. Oh, wait a minute, I took notes. See, I almost forgot. I actually took notes on both shows. So let's see.
I did not, but I know one note without even looking at it because I tweeted about it while watching the show today. that opening match,
so
I lost interest when Shibata took like his 90th forearm shot and no sold it. I'm like, there's a fighting spirit spot and just no selling. Okay. Pretty much all of Ospreay's offense.
Dude, that match was great. Go read anybody who watched it, except for you and me apparently, because that match wasn't. And you're exactly right. But I lost interest way earlier. So
okay.
So. One, they just threw that match on. You know? Like, okay. No, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of the Bryan Danielson. Never mind. So they put this one on. And I'm like, they're going to start the show with this. Because they're not going to do Takeshita and Swerve. Because of the hard-on they have for Takeshita. So, all right. Let's see what happens here. You start the show with these guys. One guy that just came from overseas, who's been around for a few weeks, who's already being overexposed, against a guy who's come over here, was the Ring of Honor Pure Champion? Right? Lost it, and then has lost every goddamn match I've seen him since. But, okay.
So and, like, but everyone still tells him it's tough.
Yeah, well, I mean, great. You lose, you keep losing. You can be as tough as you want if you're still losing, but you're still losing. But anyways, they go through the match. They start the match, and you know, I'm just like, what did I say? I really did take notes, by the way.
Well, yeah, I assumed you found them by now.
Yeah, I did. I'm just sorry. Okay. So the point of the part of the point of this match is Shibata is super powerful with his elbows and his strikes and all that, right?
Yep.
So they keep telling us this. He hits Ospreay with what, elbows or something to their side forearm to the face. A couple of them. Ospreay, this is early in the match. Ospreay falls to the ground. Shibata runs to the corner. Ospreay's immediately up, runs to the corner, elbows Shibata a few times in the face, and Shibata is down and on the losing end of the offense for at least the next 5 to 6 minutes. So you just told me Shibata's striking game is far superior and super strong, but yet he hit his opponent with it. His opponent didn't even sell it, and now his opponent turns around the same game on him, and he's down for the count. And then they roll outside where the referee's counting. You can hear the referee counting. He inexplicably stops and gets out of the ring and goes and joins him outside the ring. Like, hey, what's going on, guys? And I'm like, I'm done. I don't want to see this anymore. Like, all logic's out the window.
There is definitely too much, and I guess we haven't talked about this specific topic, but just because it doesn't, it's not quite as bad, the refereeing stuff still in AEW is brutal.
Because
they give them referees discretion in pretty much every match, but, you know, it goes back to that. They have this stuff happen in way too many matches, and it, yeah, it just gets old.
Yeah, and then later on the match,
even if it's the first match of the night.
Yes, well, that's part of the problem. This is the first match of the night, and I'm already tired of this same old act with this company, because later on Shibata is punching Ospreay, and Bryce Rensburg says, "Hey, come on, cut it out! Like, get out of the corner." We're 18 minutes into the match. Get out of here!
You've allowed them to fight on the outside for multiple minutes.
Yeah, and now he's like, got them backed in the corner, and they've been backing each other in the corner the whole time. And I totally forgot about the spot you're talking about. But yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, imagine turning this on as a casual fan and going, they're just hitting each other. He's just letting them hit him? Like, this is stupid.
I know that we've talked about the UFC and how we really don't watch it as much, but no one in their right mind, like, they might eat a shot or something like that, but then they're like, oh, shit, that's right, this really hurts, and I need to protect myself. You know?
Yeah.
No matter how bad someone is at it, they just don't laugh at them and just walk up to them. It's like,
okay.
And to have that spot twice in the same match, it's like, they did it on the floor, and then they did it again in the ring, and I'm like, oh, God, come on, guys. Like, no, just no.
Yeah, and it's indicative of, is that considered strong style? And I'm being dead serious. I haven't really watched New Japan too much. But, like, it's him. Oh, God. Who's the murder grandpa? I forgot his name already. Suzuki, right?
Murder grandpa.
Well, that's what they call him. So.
Oh, why? I guess I had not heard that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. God damn it, what's it? Him. He does the same thing. Yeah. I hate those matches.
Like, yeah, Minoru Suzuki.
Thank you. Yeah. I couldn't remember the first name. But, like, this is just indicative of this stuff, and this is stupid. It's the same thing every time. And then...
No.
The crowd's hot. They're enjoying this. And then, even then, it just started going away, and then Ospreay wins. Cool. And... What did I say? Cool, it's over. All that no-selling and ends out of nowhere.
That was the other thing. I'm like, oh, like, I had felt like Shibata had, like, no-sold his offense almost the whole match.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly. And then all of a sudden he hits the hidden blade, and it's just like, oh, okay, it's over. And I'm like...
Yes.
Oh, it's over? Like, I would have thought that he could have put up with more. Like, I mean, he's been no-selling the whole match.
Mm-hmm. But that's all Ospreay matches are. Move, 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 move. The end. Okay. There's no story. Like, and I think it was this match, but one of the announcers actually said, neither one of these guys can get an advantage. And it's like, yeah, because there's nothing to what they're doing. It's like, all right, now you punch me a bunch. Okay, let me reverse it. I'm going to punch you a bunch. Okay, let's reverse it. I'm going to punch you a bunch. Like, okay. And it kind of set the tone for the night. And again, I even said the athleticism, again, is great. No logic. No logic whatsoever. So, whatever. Like, cool. The match means nothing. Okay, so Ospreay won again. We all knew he was going to win again. And that's kind of the problem with this show. You knew who was going to win everything.
Now I'm just scrolling to what the next matchup was.
We had the Young Bucks backstage with Renee Paquette. A positive, not being dead serious. The line, I think it was Nick, or was it Matt?
Matthew or Nicholas, sir.
Whatever. And he told Renee that she's doing a great job, but she needs to smile more. That cracked me up, because that is a dick-ass move to say. Like, and I was like, oh, that's actually really good. So, hey, there's a positive.
I really liked
that. I was like, that's a slime thing to say to somebody. Like, leave me alone.
Yeah, well, I do like that they keep on making these very dicky suggestions to all of the announcers that interview them backstage. Because, I mean, they gave Alex Marvez a hard time. Not that that's easily accomplished.
Anything with him backstage, he should, because how has he not gotten any better? Honestly. He always sounds surprised that he's talking. next time you hear him, you're gonna hear it. You're like, oh my god!
I know exactly. Okay, what you mean.
So
yeah, it is like he's shocked to be. Even though they're throwing it to him, it's like that he's shocked.
Yeah.
That it came back to him.
I'm backstage. I'm trying to catch up with the Young Bucks. Are you? Or are you
like
surprised that you're trying? Like, did someone just tell you you're doing that? But it's been like that since day one. But somehow it still hasn't become endearing. Like, this goofy man, this awkward-ass man, has not grown into this role. Like, oh, that's so cute. He's still doing it. It's just like, he's still doing it, huh? But, yeah, but no, next was the Bucks and Private Party.
Oh, yes.
So, I guess one positive, one negative. Those suits they were wearing, I know it's supposed to be obnoxious how big they are, but it looked indie wrestler bad. Like, again. Like, when they would come out in sequins and the earrings and stuff, they just looked like tools. This just made them look stupid. So,
I've got to admit, I like their suits, but I didn't pay as much attention to their ring gear, to be honest with you.
No, it was robes. I'm sorry, it wasn't a suit, it was a robe. I wrote the wrong thing down. It was a robe.
That might be why. I think yeah. I might have fast-forwarded through the entrance.
Yeah, it's like they're wearing like an adult male, and it makes them look like kids trying to wear adult male stuff. So, and then they immediately show a video package of the first time these two teams met, and all I got out of this video package is how much neither team is over now. Like, hey, it's Private Party. Exactly.
The Young Bucks are at least going in the right direction.
I don't. But you don't hear the reaction for them, though. It's like, here we are. You know? Not like before.
Yeah. I do not think they're helping themselves.
Well, no.
At all.
No. Because it's just, it's... To me, it just seems like disingenuous and just absolutely fake. You know, like just be your own dickhead selves. Don't try and be characters. What? Just be yourselves. Like, I know they're trying to play up the EVP idea that they're like, you know, powerful and this, but yeah. it just rings hollow. But I could actually hear him saying like, "You should smile more." Like, that was kind of believable. So, Yeah, but this match, just whatever, again. I never once thought Private Party was going to win. Like, are they supposed to be the good guys? Because they've been kind of dicks. So, all right. I did like one move, because I wrote it down. There was a Falcon Arrow off of the barrier. I think Nick did that on Quinn.
Yes, Nicholas did that.
That was pretty sweet. Until you realize it didn't mean anything, he just got up. It's like, still, I can't say I've seen that before, so that was pretty cool. And then the end of this match, man, the refereeing, it's just, both Bucks pin the guy?
It was so, their matches are just, tag team matches are just awkward since they're not really tag team matches, and they're really just...
They're just, hey, you do this, hey, you do this.
They're four-person matches more than their tag team matches.
Yeah, I actually wrote the end, holy fuck, all sorts of awful. And all I remember was, what did Quinn do that he looked like he almost killed himself?
Oh,
He did. He did it was a bunch of spins. I can't remember what the move's called. He, like, did a bunch of rotations off the top rope. And it really looked like he was going to hit him with the way the speed of it was. So, you know, he can at least roll off of the guy. He just came down, like, right on the back of his neck. And I was like, oh, my God, he's dead. And luckily, he rolled enough. But then, like, they had, like, the foot on the rope spot. And it's not their fault. It's the fault of the camera crew. Not of the director. Not getting off of the camera shot. You can see Matt just sitting there. Waiting to put Nick's foot on the rope.
Oh.
Like, we should have been at a different angle where we couldn't see him. And then, again, it's in plain sight of the referee. And this just basic. How are, like, hey, look, we know it's predetermined. We get it. But how are we supposed to suspend disbelief and really get into the story of a wrestling match when you keep showing me fake stuff?
Yeah, you want that suspension of disbelief. It is a important part of professional wrestling.
Yeah, and it's just a basic. I will accept, like we were talking about the earlier match, I will accept if, like, he elbows him and he staggers, he's like, what? And, like, pushes the guy and does his own. Not, hit me again. No. But if there's an exchange, or a, hey, forget this, you got me, and go after him with something different, then do your move in. You know, just something. But, yeah, like, so that really bugged me. And then, like, the double pin, I was like, he let them both pin him. Fuck this. Oh, I have some notes in here I probably shouldn't say on here. Well, this one I can.
Because we had the ladies' four-way match.
Well, yes, but you skipped over Chris Jericho anchoring himself to Hook. Oh, my God.
Use the same description today, the very same description today on the X. Because it's just like, oh, Hook, why did you accept this? Why did you accept this albatross around your neck?
Especially when he goes, yeah, and I know you're Chris Jericho. I know what being Chris Jericho means, or whatever he said. And he should be like, I appreciate it. When I need you, I'll let you know. Not, I'm good. Like, you just said, you know he's going to stab you in the back, you know he's a cheat, and all this stuff. And then you go, I'm with you, man. Like, okay, Sting. Sure, go ahead. But, yeah, so that was, I was just like, okay. Yeah, no, the women was next because I know my note says, I love Anna Jay. And then the next
deep
note.
Insight there.
Yeah, the next note was Chris Statlander, yum. Okay, there's that. Actually, this whole match is a feast of fun. not as bad as I thought, saying it out loud. So.
Yep. Those that words is, could be said about this.
That is a buffet of sweetness. Because.
So, yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Real potpourri of body shapes there.
Yeah. And, but again, we all know who was going to win. I didn't think for one second, as much as I actually prefer her over everybody as a talent, Chris Statlander. Like, oh. Anna Jay, no. There was no chance. It wouldn't have made any sense. Sky Blue doesn't ever win. That I remember.
She occasionally wins.
There you go. And then they...
Yeah, not enough that it would have been a surprise, but also since it's the TBS title, it's just like, why do you have her compadre in there? Like, she would she really face off with Julia Hart?
Yeah, and it's like, well, they had Statlander and Willow in there. And they built up the whole match for them to, like, go at each other. Because they kept them apart the whole match. And then they finally get together, and they're all smiles. And it's like, ugh. It should have been like, all right, we got to do this. We do. And then it gets interfered with. Like, oh my gosh, they were really going to go at it. I mean, they've already had a match against each other anyways. But... In the crux of a title match, or title opportunity, you shouldn't be all giggles and smiles, you know? But
fair enough.
It's just, whatever. Okay, so there's a couple things. Was it this one? Oh, no, okay, it was the last match. What did you think of Mercedes Moné on the commentary? I saw your face, by the way. So.
I am going to say she seemed disinterested at best. And she made some of the most generic observations. Oh, she's going to the top rope.
Oh, I've got my eye on her. Yeah, I remember what she did to me. She didn't do anything, but you're the one that broke your own ankle, but whatever.
You're the one that keeps on getting injured.
And I honestly, like, most of the time when I'm like really negative about stuff, I know it's just me in a mood. So it's like, all right, go see what other people are saying, and then go back and watch. You can barter out like what you thought compared to this, because it's the way of like opening my eyes to something I may have missed.
Right.
I didn't see one person say anything different, so I know it's not me. So I saw your face. I was like,
Oh.
yep, good, you too. So yeah, oh boy,
Oh.
that was rough.
I mean, I don't know if it's rough. It was just like, if this is all you're gonna do, like, don't be out there.
Exactly.
Or don't talk. Like, you'd be better just literally scouting the talent and just being out there than doing what she did on the
Yeah.
mic.
Now I saw some people saying, well, she's reading like she's those lines are scripted. And I was like, well, okay, if those were, that
Why,
person needs to be gone. And then also,
man? Yeah.
okay, you can read scripted lines with some passion. If this woman legitimately broke your ankle, wouldn't you be upset? I'm hoping she's the winner so I can take the title away from her. Just something, anything. And just
Yeah, at a minimum, like, she doesn't really have a whole lot of investment for the other women, storyline wise. So
No.
yeah, you should at least be able to bite into the Willow stuff. But yes, like, yeah, I remember what she did to me in New Japan. And it like stopped there. I'm like, oh, okay.
See,
Like,
you
you're
get
not really gonna get into it. You're not gonna describe anything to compare it to Sol Ruka on NXT. Telling you talk about out in the rehab and get out of the
Yeah.
And like there's like I'm like I didn't expect that extended of a statement just because of the nature of the moments. I don't think you're gonna talk about that when you're out on commentary. Like, I feel like that's a different you kind of want to take a different angle if you're in commentary rather than doing like a video package. But still, like, no more passion behind any explanation about, how it took you X to get back into because of that injury. Like, that's this, like, especially if you know that that's going to be the outcome, like, sell the matchup that's coming your way.
Yeah, I don't think she did herself any favor. And I don't remember her being bad on the mic in WWE. Am I just forgetting? Or was she just around people who were better? So, you know what I mean? So it's like it can be covered up because you don't remember what she said because the other people were good. I don't know.
Right. I don't know how to answer. Like, I guess I liked her mic work. Her promos have just been okay. Like, I mean, I know it's only been a couple, but she hasn't really. I mean, I feel like this is at least part of a wrestler's own pit trap. It's hard to have a good promo when you don't have a good feud to sink your teeth into. And
Yeah.
she is in that position right now, so I don't know if I'm giving her some leeway at the current moment. But Yeah, it has not started out great on the microphone for.
See, like I think presentation wise, like her coming back, sure. The next week being like a special, like you know, we hear from again. That was fine outside the awkward dancing. Like, okay, it was just kind of weird. Like you just stand there doing nothing. But then, oh shit. Oh well. No, I was looking up AEW's quarterly ratings, and it's locked. Well, that sucks.
Yeah, oh.
But, okay. Yeah, it's... I just, like, she's talking, let's not do that again. And then, if she's cleared to wrestle, get her in there with, what's her name, Queen Aminata?
Yes.
Okay, get her in there, have her beat someone big. I mean, the woman doesn't win anyways, at least not on AEW TV. Maybe Ring of Honor she does. But, you know,
no.
Let's get her, who's another jobber? Like, I guess they push them all to Ring of Honor, I guess. But bring in some local talent, you know?
Honestly, the women's division seems better booked in Ring of Honor than it does
I'm sure it
in
AEW. Is. Yeah, I'm sure it is.
People, I at least see that online, like, oh, Athena's still really doing it in Ring of Honor. And then that's why I was just like, just because I see Sheeta posts, I'm like, oh, she's feuding with Athena right now? Yeah, I think I'd take that over whatever's happening currently in AEW.
Yeah, it's, they gotta do something with her, something fast, because last night did not help. But then again, like AEW's audience, the core audience is gonna watch no matter what. If it's not evidenced by the tag match that was next, best friends and oh god,
Taven and Bennett, baby,
yeah.
The Kingdom,
the
United Kingdom, that's a country,
Undisputed Kingdom,
Undisputed Kingdom, there we go.
Something else that starts with a K, which actually is a C, but it. Chris has got to be going crazy. Because he already said that the Undisputed Kingdom is a failure as it is. And now, the Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions are in this for some reason. They lose in the first round to Trent Beretta and Orange Cassidy. Listen, love Orange Cassidy, don't get me wrong. Are we kidding around right now? Like, not even a second round? Your big bad stable that's supposed to be, you know, wrecking havoc, and we're all here for one thing or another. Wardlow loses. Where is he? Kingdom loses again. It's a failure. Put yeah. Bennett and Taven in a Ring of Honor, and we don't want them on TV anymore. It's just, there's no point.
That group is dead.
Yeah,
it's deader than a doornail, especially given that, yeah, the last time we saw Adam Cole, he was still sporting quite the cast and not looking like he was that close to getting back in the ring.
Yeah, not at all. So there's no point to it. You blew the wad with Wardlow already and just, like, shut him up, I guess? I don't know. Hey, you just did the best promo of your career. You're going to lose 2 weeks later and not be seen again. What? All right, so on to the next week. Like, wait, Tony, what'd you say? So, yeah, but that whole thing's dead. Whatever. But if it's more Orange Cassidy, fine. But, like, is Chuck Taylor hurt?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, they actually said that during the past.
Oh, I missed that. So.
Yeah, because they did say that they've mentioned it for a couple of weeks now because Beretta and Orange Cassidy have had a couple of tag team matches in the preceding weeks. I don't know if those took place possibly on Rampage, possibly on Collision. Not entirely sure of that. But yeah, they mentioned that Chuck was hurt. And even this week, they're like, oh yeah, he's not quite back, so Orange is going to take his place. And it's just like, they don't really have a spot for him like right now. Like, he's not going to go against Samoa Joe at this moment. I don't think. May as well keep his name out there. And I guess that's the way I viewed the match. Like, I didn't think about how big a losers the Undisputed Kingdom is. Honestly, I was just like, oh, yeah, this makes sense. Like, if you want to keep one of your biggest names out there, you got to have Orange Cassidy win this match.
Yeah, you really do.
So, I guess even though the Kingdom is DOA, I'm okay with the outcome of this match.
Yeah, I didn't care. I actually put this match was chaos. I don't care. I fell asleep. So I had to go back and watch. And I don't care if I did. So, but
you didn't really need to go back and watch.
No, I really didn't.
Could have given the same analysis.
Okay, so then we have our main event. I'm sure we missed something. Again, I don't care.
Like, no, we just missed Kyle O'Reilly saying, "I'm glad I'm not sticking around those losers."
Did he actually say that? I did miss that.
He did not say that.
Oh, okay. Which that would have been kind of funny, actually.
He said that he still wants to do it on his own, though. So, I mean,
might as well. Yeah. Why would I want to team up with you?
Because they are fucking losers.
Ugh. And then, so here comes our weekly Takeshita hate for me. Takeshita, Z's, there is zero charisma. Boy, this crowd is dead. With good reason. I guess this must have been later on in the match, because I do remember this. These motherfuckers chanting, "This is awesome. Get the fuck out of here." That's why the Nordiques left. It's in Ottawa. I don't even know what the hell I'm talking about.
Yeah, wrong city.
I thought it was in Quebec. Maybe that's where they're at for Collision?
I believe this one was in Ottawa. Yes, well, it was. You just mentioned the Senators. Yeah. So,
again, I don't care. This match, there was no way Takeshita was winning. So, I'm just waiting and waiting for the end. And, like, I don't care. You can keep telling me how good Takeshita is in the ring. Okay, he can do moves. That's it. Like, he's boring as hell. And honestly, and I know, Chris is the one that really pointed this out to me. Putting him with Don Callis is not helping, because he sucks the life out of everything. And I didn't notice that really. But have you noticed they don't even refer to Will Ospreay as anything to do with him now?
They mentioned it the week Ospreay came back, because that was the matchup. Was that him and Takeshita?
At the pay-per-view was the debut. Then the Wednesday following was against Kyle Fletcher.
Oh, Fletcher.
And we never did get Will Hobbs.
No.
They just kind of dropped it. So,
And there hasn't been anything. I actually couldn't believe that I complimented Don Callis on his promo this week, because he was racist without being racist during his promo.
I don't remember what he said. Why did he say that?
Oh, he said, "It may be your house, but it's my block." And I'm just like, oh my God, dude. Like, he said a couple of things that are just like, yeah, you're trying to draw this whole parallel of black neighbor in a white neighborhood kind of situation. I'm just like, good God, man. And I'm just like, he said it without saying it. And I'm just like, compliments on this one. Like, of all the promos that Don Callis has cut, like, I don't really care for him myself. This week's, actually, I'm like, hey, you know what? You were throwing out some dog whistles there.
Oh, I he starts talking and it's just words. Like, all right, let's go. He's just going to say a bunch of stuff that means nothing. And
I mean, he sells Takeshita as well as anyone could. in my opinion. Like,
two backhanded compliments. I enjoy that. Your Twitter remark about Don Callison on that one. He sells them about as anyone could. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he talks him up. He talks about how good he is, like what his positive traits are.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I do genuinely mean that, like, I think he talks him up well. Like, I don't know what else you'd really be able to say. Yeah. You know, like, no matter the presentation could be different, but he's always glowing about Takeshita.
Yeah.
And I didn't mind that whole vignette, really, of him kind of hyping up his win. You know, I mean, it's easy. You know, it's one of those heel 101 things where he's just like, oh, he's the only guy to beat Kenny Omega twice. And it's just like, it's okay. Like the Miz having that main event at WrestleMania. You know, you always get to bring it up. Like, no matter what it is, like, that is professional wrestling. If you have a problem with that, stop watching wrestling.
I think one of the funnier lines, though, that doesn't resonate at all anymore, he goes, he destroyed Chris Jericho. So did Hook 2 weeks ago. Like, Hook dominated that match, so, okay. And I know, like, you're not, in AEW, you're not supposed to have a long memory. Like, a little bit worse than WWE is now. Like, WWE's bringing up the past and not trying to hide it either anymore. But it's like, I just don't get it. And, like, they go, this is a number one contenders match. Who did Takeshita beat in between losing to Ospreay? Did I miss a match?
Yeah, you did not.
Okay, then that makes no sense. And they still insist on talking about ratings. Or rankings, excuse me. Get rid of it! Like, it...
They started the year strong, and that has also kind of fallen by the wayside. Like, I know they still kind of talk about it, but it lost a lot of gusto in a hurry. It kind of almost felt like a New Year's resolution.
Yeah, true. But I've seen people explain it, like on Reddit, Twitter, whatever, that, well, the ranking system is kind of like UFC's ranking system, where, yeah, you're rated number one, but we're going to put number three in the match because they'll draw bigger pay-per-view buys or something. And I'm like, you know what? I would accept that. If they said that on the show, if they did anything else on the show, they don't.
Yeah, yeah. You, the logic can work. You just need to make the logic work, and they don't make it work.
No, and I'm not upset about Samoa Joe's work. One-on-one for the time being, at least. But Joe's title reign has just been kind of blah. Like, he beat Hook, Wardlow. And he had the pay-per-view match, but even then, that was like kind of mired in controversy because of how quick Adam Page tapped out. Which they never really addressed, so maybe that was just people making
Oh my gosh, you just mentioned that, and I'm like, I was waiting for them to address that, and wow, that has just not been on the radar at all.
Not at all. So, it's just, I think the lack of interest in the show is definitely wearing. Because the ratings came out and it plummeted. And it's like their worst in, what was it, 3 years? Since 2021, I think? And I don't know, like, the lack... I wanted to say there's a lack of star power. You know, Moxley just disappears from TV. And he's in Mexico right now. But they don't even acknowledge that he's not there anymore. They're just like, yeah, him and Claudio beat FTR... And he was going to be gone. But he'll be back soon. That's never happened. It's stuff like this. I think losing Kenny Omega, losing MJF, losing CM Punk especially, made people switch out.
Yeah, it has not been a good run for them.
No, I mean, it's been very tough. I don't even think, like, I'm not going to say losing Adam Cole means anything, because he really wasn't around too much.
Yeah, he was not carrying their product at any time. Really.
No. But yeah, MJF being gone's definitely got to be a problem. Who else is gone? Like, Brian Danielson's been here and there.
Because, I mean, I feel like I saw a match of his recently.
A Collision.
Oh, okay.
So, but I mean, he's talking about this is his last year full time. It's like, okay.
He had a vignette.
Yeah. True. Yeah, all right. So where's Edge this week? I'm sorry, Adam Copeland. Shouldn't he be talking about?
Yeah, he had a promo.
Was he on the front of the crowd?
No.
All right.
No, they had a little taped vignette.
Yeah.
With him, because it was weird to me. Like, this is one where I just didn't like the ordering of how it went. And the announcers mentioned the Cope Open was coming back already, and then they went to the promo where he announced it, the idea. And it's just like, guys, you like talk about it after he announces it. Like, I understand that they taped it last week, but I feel like you let the promo do the work first.
Yeah. But it's also like they bring in these WWE guys and it doesn't work. It's not helping attendance, obviously. You know, like
even in Canada.
Yeah, especially in Canada. Hey, Chris Jericho's not going to be on the show. Edge won't be on the show. God damn it, Adam Copeland won't be on the show. Christian, he's not going to be on the show either.
I mean, it didn't really help when they were on the show.
Well, in Canada, maybe it would. You know, I mean, they're not going to show it false advertising. You know, they didn't advertise them. But, jeez, come on. But, whatever. It's just they're. I don't want to say they're in trouble, but man, they're not going anywhere. And the same poor decisions keep getting made. No one will sit these guys down and go, listen. We need stories, not great matches, because we're not getting great matches anyways. So let's start building for something, because they used to have that. I know, remember we used to complain that there were no stories in AEW? And now there are no stories in AEW.
What was that? Dave Meltzer rattled off a bunch of stories because someone made that comment on Twitter. And I'm like, I guess he has a point that, A, there are stories, but they're poorly written and I don't care about them.
Well, I guess a story would be Swerve
and Joe is a story. The EVPs is a story.
Is it? They're not really doing anything. They're just saying we're EVPs.
They're being dickheads. I mean, they retired Sting, quote unquote.
Which,
I mean,
that I'm sorry, I did love that line because they didn't. He was retiring anyways. They lost. So that line, I forgot to write that one down. I appreciated that one too because that is just heel work.
Like I said, I've. For the first time in a long time, even though it's still probably a little too tongue-in-cheek for my own liking, I do like what they're doing right now. So, but, I mean, to me, that is a storyline. You could sell the Mercedes Willow stuff to me as a story. That hasn't been going very long because, you know, Mercedes has just shown up, so whatever.
Well, I mean, really the whole thing... They seemingly ended Willow, Chris Statlander, Julia Hart, and Sky Blue.
And then they all had a match the next week.
And then and now it's Willow versus Julia Hart, and it's like, wait, I thought we ended this. So, sure, whatever. Well, no, but, I mean, I guess there are stories. I hate saying that, like... I hate, like, demonstrative statements like I made, because you know it's not true.
Well,
but it just seems like it. Like,
yeah, I know that you and I have said that before, and when he rattled whatever, you know, like, I'm not pulling up tweet to mention the specific stories that he mentioned, but I was just like, Yeah, I guess he's right. It's just, like I said, I haven't really been sold on them. I don't feel emotionally invested in them at all. So I think that's what makes me feel like there isn't a story, or, you know, there aren't any stories going on. Like, I'm not invested in it. You know,
at all.
I guess that's kind of the big difference. Because this is another thing that, honestly, we talk about nearly every week. We understand that NXT is goofy, but they have their own logic, and they're following through on the stories.
Yeah.
No matter what they are or how ludicrous they are.
And so, great segue, by the way, because this show this week was good. Like, goofiness aside, and the rare misstep on this show came from the last person I'd expect it to come from. But from top to bottom, I don't know what got into him, but, like, that Shawn Spears Dijak match, I sent that text to you. You're about to witness Shawn Spears' best match ever. That match was awesome. Now,
I'm not quite sure why that happened, but I'm just like, okay. Like, yeah. That was the opposite. Love that match way more than Ospreay and Shibata.
Yes. One, hard-hitting. It had its moments with Joe Gacy. Sure. That's going to lead somewhere, at least.
Which they already followed through on,
okay.
Mind you.
Please don't get to that part yet, because I absolutely love that.
We don't need... But
I love that.
Because we were talking about AEW not kind of carrying through storylines, like, NXT did it on one show.
Mm-hmm. It's like, why does Dijak keep having these matches? And that's a compliment. Like, when did he become a brawler? Like, he was always sort of physical, but...
Yeah, I think that's been the biggest thing with his character. Like, that... He came in being... That era, I feel like, when he came up in Ring of Honor, all of the big men were like, hey, we've got to be able to do, like, triple Lutz.
Mm-hmm.
Or else I'm not really a good big man. And... That might honestly be his biggest change, is how he's changed into a brawler. Like, mm-hmm. He might do a moonsault or something in a match, but I do think he's cut out, like, the bicycle kick and, like, some other things that he was trying to be just another agile big man. It's just like, that's great, but it's funny how you can use it differently for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are different ways to do it. Because, I mean, I think that, and it's been kind of fun here, just, well, I don't want to pass completely by Shawn Spears because, good God, I agree with you. Like, it's just like, oh, is this why all of the Canadian wrestlers say he's a great wrestler?
Yeah. I was dumbfounded. Like, this is really good. I just kept saying the whole time. And then Joe Gacy appears, steals his chair, and I'm like, oh, here we go. And then, no, it just kept going. I'm like, oh. And then I liked Spears was going to use the chair, and it wasn't there. He loses, and then Gacy's, like, got the chair, and, like, acting like a fool. Okay. Like, wow. Like, didn't see any of this coming. So I'm not saying Joe Gacy, but it made sense.
Well. Yeah, and it's one of those ones where, there are a couple of things just honestly tied together. Like, I feel like the Ridge Holland stuff is a storyline.
It is, yeah, it is.
But also, you kind of need it, like, Shawn Spears, if that's the story for Ridge Holland, Shawn Spears needs to move on to something else now, and they built it into that match that was a little bit out of the blue, but it also makes more sense, I guess. As I was saying that, I'm thinking, hold on, hasn't Joe Gacy like wrestled on the indie scene for longer than some of these other people?
Yeah.
But I guess I was thinking, I'm like, Sean Spears, Joe Gacy, you know, a younger talent with an older talent. It kind of makes sense. Like, Dijak is definitely, like, just even in the WWE, I forget how long he's been there now. It's longer than longer than I think most of the time. Like, I want to say it's like 7 years.
He was there when Keith Lee, Adam Cole was there, you know? So,
yeah.
But yeah, it's just, but Dijak keeps having good matches. Sean Spears put on a great match. And I was like, what's going on? Like, that's a hell of a way to start the show.
Oh, yeah. You know? 7 years, 2017.
Yeah. I mean, remember he got that first. Who was
first
he?
First run in NXT.
Was he T-Bar?
Yes, he was T-Bar.
That's going to be one of those things that everyone's going to remember. And it wasn't that long. And, like, this should be the run he's remembered for. He's had good physical matches with guys who were smaller, too. Because I was there for the Wes Lee one. And it was good.
Yes.
So, and then I wrote something after this about Thea Hale needs to be evil. Like, she pulls off, like, she's getting, like, crazy eyes and stuff now. And it's like, oh, wow, okay.
She could pull off a Nikki Cross-like vibe.
Yeah, for sure. And then the next was a Fallon Henley bodysuit. Damn. So, yeah, like, that whole angle, I guess we're going to get a six-person match? Six-woman?
Six-woman match, that seems to be on the horizon here. This one definitely feels like, hey, we like all these women, but we couldn't really write them into a story, per se, so we're just doing this big group match.
Yeah.
And Stand and Deliver. And, you know, that's fine by me, like... Whatever. I think I like all of them.
The one Jasmine next, it's impossible to say if you like her or not.
Okay. First match. So jury might be out on her. Everyone else I feel like involved seems to deserve a spot. And... yeah, because Kiana James has done some work. I mean, they've kind of been hot and cold with her push.
Mm-hmm. She's always been around. So
she's been around, and the last I remember, she won a match. So, you know, they've also done that for her. Like, they haven't been it hasn't been a consistent push, but when you get the dubs, a lot can still be done.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it's funny because Becky Lynch made mention of it today that look at, like, not every women's feud has to be about a title. She goes, look at what they do in NXT. And it kind of dawned on me, she's exactly right. There's only one program for the title. All these other women have their own issues with each other about varying things. So, somehow Sean has become the guy that's writing the women's stuff better. Or maybe he just has someone there that's like, hey... Look at all we. There were two. I think this is another week where there were two women's matches in a row, as well. So,
I guess it wouldn't surprise me. Again, no. I mean, we've kind of talked about it. Their women's roster is just wild.
Yeah,
and just stocked. Like they. I mean, that's part of the reason why there is a six-woman match. They're like, hey, we like all the, again, like, we like all these women, like, but sorry, like, everyone can't have a single storyline.
Yeah, and then...
Thea Hale, Jasmine, and then is there a following? Oh, yeah, Lola Vice and Natalya.
Well, I guess we can just talk about that as a whole. But yeah, so why, that was next. Okay, my note on this was, why is anyone scared of Natalya? I'm not saying that, like, personally, but,
no.
Why? Everyone beats her.
well, unless you're that fresh. That's the only time that Natalya's gotten the wins recently. She loves going to NXT because she actually gets wins there.
Yeah, she's getting... Well, yeah, cause, is Tegan Nox hurt again? Because it seemed like that was going to become a feud. But...
I have no idea.
I hope
but
not.
But she had... She hasn't been on TV at all. They kind of dropped that for the most part.
And now Natalya shows up down there, and it's like, and boy, the NXT audience goes insane for Natalya. I mean,
yes,
you'd think that is Charlotte
Flair. She gets treated like a
rock star. Yes.
And everyone, like, I mean, it's kind of funny how the whole boat thing went from joke gimmick to like, I'm here. Like, you're the boat. Like, you made this one. I like it.
Yeah, it's just... And then the match was fine, whatever. You know, Lola's still what she is. So not bagging on her, but...
Yeah, you know. I mean, that again, that's another... Well, definitely more of a training moment. Hey, we're going to throw you in here with someone that's been doing it for Lord only knows how long now.
And isn't that what Natalya should be doing at this point?
Yes.
I mean, I know, you know, you don't ever want to tell a wrestler, well, you're done, we're done on TV, so we're just going to get a trainer. You know, so, well, my contract's up, I'm going to leave. I understand. But she's been around so long in an NXT. I mean, I know they got, was it Sarah D'Amato? Right?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's like, but would it be that bad if Natalya was down there with her? Especially with, like you just said, all the women that are down there. So, you
Could
know.
Could not hurt. Could not hurt.
No. But, yeah, so we had that.
And it is, I should note, too, like what Natalya's changed her body into has been interesting.
Yes. And
she has definitely leaned out.
She's, yes. Yeah, we'll leave that one where it is.
Yep, that's where I'm leaving it. I don't need to go any further than that.
Oh, I got other notes on that, by the way. So, but and then after that, I knew I was going to say it on the show. So, but after that, we go outside to Sean Spears leaving, and Joe Gacy throws the chair off the roof, and he's like, "Sorry about that. Here's your chair." I don't know what was going on. This cracked me up something fierce. Like, this animal, like, how is he always on top of the building? And then what really sold it was Sean Spears, like, the hell is this guy doing? He wasn't scared. It wasn't like, oh, my God, he's crazy. It's like, what? And then just walks off. Like, yep.
He's just like, yeah, I'll deal with this guy. Well, I mean, and he did really say, like, I'll deal with this guy. And it's just like, okay,
yeah.
Like, that's an appropriate reaction. Like, he kind of acknowledged that Gacy was a crazy person.
Yes.
And then he's like, I can't do anything about it right now. I'm not going to get too riled up. I'm out of here.
Yeah, like, what are you going to do? You're just going to... Look at the guy on the roof? Like, yeah. So, yeah, no, I thoroughly enjoy it. It's a simple thing like that. And it kind of helps establish, like, Gacy's just kind of off the rails. And I also wonder if this shouldn't have been Gacy the whole time. But we'll see.
It feels like they were trying for that, but they didn't ever really get there. Like,
no. He was never exposed as a hypocrite.
Yeah, they made him more of a half-assed Bray Wyatt than, like, himself, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, that kind of crazy person.
So, after this was, to me, the rare miss of the night, and honestly, the rare miss for this guy in general. I did not like the Stax and Ilya match at all. I mean, why is Stax getting that much offense on Dragunov? And then the constant yelling and gripping in pain about his hand? I'm like, okay, if it's that bad, why isn't the referee, like, checking and calling the match off? If he's, like, holding his fingers all goofy, You know, wouldn't shouldn't that be, oh crap, he's mangled, the match has to be over? You know? Like, this match shouldn't have been 85, 90, 95% stacks, and then Ilya come back and beat him.
I didn't realize this match was this short.
How long was it?
5:03.
No. That's got to be way longer than that. Wow.
That's what the report that I am reading.
So 4:33 was Stax beating on Dragunov, and then Dragunov just beating him, and that's it. Like, and
yeah.
Like, the funny thing is, later they're in the locker room. Dragunov's hand is still all mangled. There's not a trainer in sight, and I'm like, all right, enough. Like, no. He's like, well, I got to give him credit. They did their homework, and it's like, did they? Like, I don't know. It just didn't work for me at all.
I liked that it gave Stack some tough guy credibility.
But, I mean, so? Like, they're not going to be doing anything with Stack. Like, in the meantime. So.
No, it really isn't going to be much of an aid to him. Like, I'd be shocked if him and Luca aren't a tag team.
Yeah, and that'd be fine. But I mean, they already won the title with Tony D. Yeah. But no, yeah. I just didn't think this played out the way it should have. It should have been a dominant win for Ilya. And Stax could have hurt his hand in the process. You know? Still have the hand get hurt. But not 95% of the offense being Stax. Like, no. This is... Because remember, I've always said, Ilya Dragunov matches work best when it's his match. You wrestle what he wants you to do. And they always come out good. And this one, it just felt like Stax was just getting too much in working his own thing instead of following Ilya.
Working a Dragunov match.
Yeah, so, but a rare miss, but whatever. And now, where are they meeting for dinner? Are they doing are they going to do the same thing with him and Santos?
You know, I couldn't quite figure that out myself. Right. Because I couldn't believe it's just called the restaurant. Because I'm like, shouldn't this have a little bit better name than just the restaurant? I mean, you can make something very, very Italian and very generic.
Yeah, unless they're trying to pull I was going to say John Wick, but I know it's supposed to be Mafia, but yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Gotta go with, like, Big Mama's House or something like that, you know? Like, I mean, it does not need to be complicated.
Oh, so I have some random notes here. Meek Mill is drivel. Oof. I went and listened to some Meek Mill. Oof, Jesus Christ! And then,
not a fan, huh?
Dude, it's my biggest problem with modern day hip hop or rap. It's the same repetitious thing over and over. And yes, I understand what repetitious means, and that's why I did it that way. It's not good. So. People seem to like it, but, you know, people like a lot of bad things. So, the Ridge Holland leaving, yeah. I just said, sure, because I'm like, I was confused by that. But it is an angle, and see where it goes. What else are we supposed to say about it? So,
there's not a whole lot to say. Like, it's one where... To me, I need investment in the character before he, you know, takes a leave of absence, and I don't really care about Ridge Holland's character.
Yeah, and that's kind of the point, like, probably the problem, like, all right, like, it was never much to get invested with. So, then apparently I must have dozed off. So I went back and watched Hudson and Briggs today, actually. Boy. There's some NXT just does right, and that's big man matches. And they're just clobbering each other. Hudson still gets in his weird offense. He's just an awkwardly built dude, and I think that's the problem. I don't. I saw this firsthand when I saw him at the pay-per-view last year, and it was just like, there's nothing wrong with him. There's nothing wrong with what he does. It's just his posture and how he carries himself. That's all. I mean, it's not even an insult. It's just, you know, it's who he is. So I actually thought this was going to go to a count out. And this was another instance of the referee getting to 9 and then jumping out of the ring to say, hey, get in the ring.
Yeah.
And it's like, what?
Did not notice that.
Yeah. So two wrestling shows this week, the referee did the same thing. Except Rensburg's just out there going, oh. Like, at least I can't remember who this referee was like, get your ass in the ring, and then jump back in. So, but yeah, I mean, hard-hitting, Obafemi shows up at the end, and they're like, Dijak, Briggs, and I'm like, what?
Yeah, that
okay.
All of a sudden, it felt like they didn't have any big men in NXT, and all of a sudden, they have a wealth of them.
Yeah, I mean, even Out the Mud, those dudes are big.
Yeah, so, Emerson, big boys.
Yeah. I mean, they're still, you know, still need the polish, but yeah. So, but yeah, I you know me, I like the big men matches.
Yeah.
Just beating each other. And I know you're not supposed to hurt each other, but that's what these big man matches have become. All right, I'm all for it then. Yeah. And it's actually kind of disappointing Hudson's not in it. A four-way would have been pretty sweet. But
yeah, I've liked Duke Hudson's work for the most part here.
Oh, especially his character work. To me, yeah. I mean, just he's still the same smarmy dickhead, but he calls himself the MVP still, and he carries around that like dollar store trophy. It's just obnoxious. Someone's gonna break it eventually, I'm guessing. But
I would have to think so.
Good or bad, that will happen. So, and then, boy, oh. So the end of the match, Briggs hits the giant lariat, the JBL lariat or whatever.
Yeah.
Booker T has no clue that's his finishing move. He goes, oh, he got him. I'm surprised. Dude, the guy sitting next to you just said he hit him with the finish, the JBL lariat. And Booker's like, didn't know that was his move. I've never seen that before. Booker hasn't been as obnoxious lately. I think that I think that surgery or health scare he had. I'm thinking.
I think it was before that, but he took about 20% off, and he's been better for it.
Well, he's gotten a lot thinner too. If you notice that.
Did not pay attention to that.
Yeah. I mean, trust me, he's still a big man. But you can see it in his face and his arms. He's not as jacked. And his gut, too.
Yeah.
So
there's only so much you can do when you're like 6'5 to not be a big man.
Exactly. So I'm wondering if he might have some heart problems and they got it cleared up. Maybe just even a simple stent or something. But that's obviously me speculating. I guess it's rude, but okay, I have a note. Why does metaphor work?
It's a question we ask nearly every week, but it does. And, I mean, they didn't have, because of Noam Dar losing the championship, they didn't really have a better role to be able to fill
and that's,
for Stand and Deliver.
Yeah, and you're still on the show. You're still probably going to play a part of it. So, great.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, the main event, I really didn't know how this was going to go, but as soon as, anytime Tozawa was in the ring, I'm always like, oh boy. They really utilized that small man to make the Wolf Dogs look like world beaters. And
Tozawa is very good at his job.
It is a designed role, man. And boy, oh boy.
It is a design role. The man knows how to sell. That, I called it a Spanish fly. I don't know what it was. But the Doomsday device turned into a slam.
I think it was just a simple power slam.
Sure. I don't care how you describe it. That's what happened. And it was just like, yeah, everyone rightfully is like, oh my God, like, that was wild. And it's just like, yeah, that was fucking wild.
Yeah. Well, there was another really, it speaks to Baron Corbin, by the way. I think Braun threw Tozawa to him, and Braun threw him a little crooked, and Corbin had to catch him so that he didn't fall on his head. And I can't remember what Corbin did with him after that, but it's like, I know people bag on him, but I think the tide's starting to turn on Baron Corbin, as it should. I think he's getting he's getting noticed for his in-ring work, finally, but then also the personality's starting to come out because he has someone to play off of. So,
I do think that at least he's been more consistent in the ring in this NXT run, which has helped. Because I mean, I felt like he'd have good matches, and it was just like, okay, man.
Yeah.
You know, like it was just kind of an up and down thing. But he has just been consistently good, mm-hmm. and him and Braun Breaker really play off of each other well. And that really helps a whole lot too.
Yeah, it really does. And it's like one of those things. They do oddball pairings very well. And in this case, the oddball pairings working out for the benefit of both guys, seeing a different side of each person, and really for Corbin being able to develop and have something different, because he's not doing this put upon laugh. Listen, I like the happy Corbin stuff. I thought it was funny. But it was clearly not him. This just seems like him. Like, the grumpy guy being paired with a young guy. Like, oh boy. All right.
He fills that grizzled vet role very well.
And then Otis looked fine. There were some points in there, though. He looked really slow. And all of a sudden, he get his ass going. It's like, huh. And so,
yeah, well, I think that might be part of the reason why he's kind of not gotten anywhere.
Yeah.
Basically in the same role.
I think that's accurate, yes. I still don't get why powerbombing through someone through a table isn't a disqualification, but I guess I need to stop complaining because it just happens all the time. So, whatever.
Yep. And hat tip to Vic Joseph for keeping his candy bowl safe after said powerbomb.
That is pretty sweet. So the one thing I purposely didn't bring up, and you haven't either, the Trick Mello video package. Holy crap. Like, where has this production been? They went to Philadelphia to see his uncle and his boxing partner or some NFL guy, and it's like, this is the old days. I loved everything about this until he did the Rocky thing at the end, but they're in Philadelphia.
I guess I did like that they didn't show Rocky and they just let him do his own thing.
You still got it, though. Still...
But, all three of those vignettes, because I was just like, oh, he hasn't brought it up yet. I was like, I'm fine with closing with it.
Yes.
Because there's two things. Like, I think I saw on the X today, they're like, main event of Stand and Deliver, Mello versus Trick. And I'm just like, it's their biggest story.
Oh, yeah. Well, right, I mean, that's, like, but that's what NXT does, though. So,
almost all WWE shows end with a championship match.
But this is NXT. Remember, we saw the one, Gargano and Ciampa. That wasn't for the title. That was just them beating the hell out of each other.
Yeah.
So they've ended shows without it being for the championship. And it's always gone with whatever their biggest story is. And yeah, that's fine with me in this case.
Yeah, that's definitely their biggest story. And yeah, those video packages were just great, man. Just everything about them. And I mean, we've kind of talked about it where it's so funny. Like, you talked about how old school it was. Like, half the time, the inventive stuff that Triple H and Shawn Michaels are doing is just like, oh, hey, do you remember what Vince did in the 80s? Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's bring that back and just put a modern, you know, like a 40 years later spin on it. It's just like, oh, yeah, hey, yeah, this, oh, it still works? Yeah, great.
Yeah, and what I loved like, about it was...
They're not reinventing the wheel, really. They're just, yeah, they're just bringing back stuff that shouldn't have left.
Yeah, I mean, they've... The things I loved about it was, like, his family, like, none of those people are made for TV. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like, Vince would be like, ugh, like, what are they doing on here? Like, yeah.
These those, normies.
Those normal people.
What are we doing with normies on our TV?
And that's just, to me, that made it, like, so authentic. I'm guessing that's his real family. I don't know. Doesn't matter. It sure seemed it. But it's like...
Yeah, if that isn't really Uncle... I can't remember what his name is. I'm just going to call him Uncle Fred. But,
sure.
Yeah, like, the uncle, if that wasn't really his uncle, that gentleman really sold it.
Yeah. And, like, then they incorporated veterans into it. Randy Orton's talking about it. CM Punk's talking about it. Cody Rhodes, they kind of just inserted him out of the blue. Like, oh, yeah, who do I
that
think will win?
That one seemed a little bit weird because Orton, Punk, and
Gargano,
Ciampa. And Ciampa. Because it's just like, well, classic NXT, you know, partners and then feuding. Like, that. Those two are perfect to be describing this stuff.
Yeah.
And, yeah, Rhodes, even though he has good gravitas, seemed kind of weird in that
Yeah,
situation.
It was just kind of like, well, everybody else is like sitting down, and there's Cody just like, hey, everybody, I'm sitting here waiting to do WWE 2K. Like, okay. Yeah, but he's gonna be the man, probably. And gotta get him in there. But I mean, if Cody Rhodes is paying attention, you should too. That's the whole point of it. CM Punk's paying attention? Randy Orton's paying attention?
Even the narration by the wrestlers, like, because it was something, because I watched NXT, the back half of NXT, and then AEW today, and I, for the most part, am okay with Excalibur. But he was narrating one of the video packages on AEW. And I heard that after seeing this stuff being narrated by CM Punk and everything. Mm-hmm. It's just like, it's not even close. Like, I'm just like, nah, guys, like. I know that AEW is a fresh company and they can't really have the built-in stuff, but it's just like, this is what they, really, it's one of those, this is what you lost with CM Punk. Like, CM Punk talking about stabbing people in the back is, you know, just hilarious in and of itself, too, yeah. So.
Randy Orton? Ciampa? yeah, all of it. I mean, I know you're specifically talking about Punk, but... It just, everything made sense, man. And it's like, man, when they want to do something, they do it. And I hope this stuff continues. I mean, more of this. I mean, I'm wondering if the SmackDown before WrestleMania is going to have a lot of this stuff.
You
know, for just certainly Jimmy J package, that could be pretty remarkable. Especially if they talk to, like, Rikishi. And, like, other family members about, like, these two brothers going at it. You know, I was tearing the family apart or something. But, yeah, I mean, it's almost like I don't even think we're doing it justice how good this thing was. It actually had real emotion there. Like, Trick talking about, you know, Mello, I came for Mello. You know, I was there for him, and I've always there for him. I always had his back. And it's like, this really resonates because he's telling the truth. Remember when Mello, like, this whole thing started when Mello lost to Adam Cole. And he's like, man, you know, you did really good. You know, I'm really happy I had this match. I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there someday. And that's when Trick comes out, and we're like, who the hell is this guy? And he's like, I know you, and I know you. And all of a sudden, boom, they shot off. So to hear Trick talking about how I was always there for him, and he just never there for me. And it's like, ah. Yeah, we have the video evidence.
It resonates. This is going to be a great close to Stand and Deliver.
Because I hope so. But hey, we saw a Trick in what the hell was that match called? Where you got put in a penalty box and stuff, whatever, Iron Survivor.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we saw that, and just how he knew where to be. Knew what to do. I get the crowd going. Then we saw him and Ilya. He held his own with Ilya. He didn't look lost. There was some great stuff in there, and it's like, all right, he can do that. Especially if him and Mello, and it. I'm gonna guess they're really friends. I don't know. You know, it's like, you know, they tag team together, and people aren't friends. They're just tag team together. So if you guys are both willing to give each other, yeah, man. This, I mean. We're going to see something special, I hope. I guess we should have waited for next week. But then, one thing.
Yeah.
Ciampa calling this possibly the biggest match in NXT history. I'm like, can you not? Can you not?
Yeah, that one might have been a little over
the
top.
The hyperbole whenever they do this. Like, this is the hottest ticket for NXT. Ticket's still available. Well, which is it?
Yeah. It's only a week away, guys, or just slightly over that.
But
if you were that hot, you really should have sold all the tickets.
Yeah, well, you know what? We're both going to eat a bag of dicks when they come out, and they've got 17,000 people in that arena. And we're like, well, they didn't sell 18,000, so whatever. Like, you know?
I was going to say, it's going to be more people in that arena than there were at the AEW
Absolutely,
show.
Absolutely, yes, yes. Yeah, and that's why when Vic said that, I went, oh, yeah? Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, they're not playing. Because, like, the Spectrum Center here, they sold out the entire bottom of the arena. But I get the feeling for WrestleMania weekend, like, is it the Wells Fargo Center? I get the feeling it's going to be a slightly bigger audience. But
well, I know the Columbus SmackDown a few months ago that I attended, they had the hard camera side of the upper bowl open and filled.
Yeah, when I went to SmackDown here, all of the Spectrum Center was open. That could be open. So even Cody Rhodes was like, if his speech after, he goes, oh, wow, there are people all the way up there. It's like when we went to PNG. And I was like, look at up there. Like, holy crap. Which, it looks so far away. But, I mean, I guess it is. But not like a football stadium far away. So.
Thank
God.
Yeah, it's not where we sat for, was that WrestleMania 23?
On the floor.
Just the worst seats
in
ever.
In the corner. Was it? Yeah, I don't know. Dallas. Dallas had a good sight lines so we could watch the big screen TV because those people were wee tiny. And we were in the 300 section.
We were not in the cheapest section in Dallas. No. And we were still very far away from that ring.
We sat down and I just went, oh my God. This is forever distance.
The vantage point to the ring was better than that for Detroit. So,
yes.
Yes. That sitting on the floor, not great when you're at the very, very back of the floor.
You know what WrestleMania we had the best seats for? 27 in Atlanta.
Yes.
Those were great. That card was kind of a dud, but the seats were awesome. So
those were our best seats.
Yeah. But I guess we better get out of here. We've been going a while.
Yeah, did not try to get burned by fireworks at that one.
No.
Bell Time beer on my end, from the great city of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Dancing Gnome, one of my younger brother's favorites. This one was in collaboration with Permanent Hangover, which is outstanding. Beyond Infinity is the name of the beer, and it was, I'm trying to figure out what it is, double IPA, 8.2% alcohol, Galaxy, Idaho 7, Sultana, Citra, and Mosaic hops. Yeah, I started trying to really finish this thing near the end of the podcast because it is super tasty. And I'm starting to feel the fact that I probably saved more of this beer for the back half of the podcast. So, yeah, should one find themselves in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Dancing Gnome, quality beer place. And they also have some pretty tasty food. So you can kill two birds, one stone, should you find yourself there. Mr. Mays, did you have a Bell Time beer on your end, sir?
No, not this week. I doubled up last week, so.
Fair enough. I almost had... in honor of you, I almost had the drippity mango that I still have in my fridge tonight.
That one got me at the end of the show. I was like, I'm feeling good. So let's get out of there.
Two doubles back to back. I can understand why
things
might have gone that route.
That's how I do things.
So I think this might have been 940. I don't know. I had the number earlier this week when I talked to Chris, but whatever. At DeFrango11, at Granny Mays, brand at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any other locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, or maybe soon YouTube Music. I got to check on that.
Nice.
So have a good night, grandkids.
Later, gang.